ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 45 एंटाइटल्ड कृष्णा रेस्क्यूज हिज टीचर्स सन। टेक्स्ट नंबर 5। सर्वार्थ संभवो देवो सर्वार्थ संभवो देहो जनितः पोषितो यतः न तयोर्याति निर्वेशम् पित्रोर्मर्त्यः सतायुषा। सर्वार्थ संभवो देहो जनितः पोषितो यतः न तयोर्याति निर्वेशम् पित्रोर्मर्त्यः सतायुषा। न सर्वार्थ संभवो देहो जनितः पोषितो यतः न तयोर्याति निर्वेशम् पित्रोर्मर्त्यः सतायुषा। शतायुषा। लेडीज प्लीज। सर्वार्थ संभवो देवो जनितः पोषितो यतः न तयोर्याति निर्वेशम् पित्रोर्मर्त्यः शतायुषा। सर्व ऑफ ऑल अर्थ गोल्स ऑफ लाइफ। संभव द सोर्स। देह वंस बॉडी। जनितः बॉर्न। पोषितः मेंटेन्ड। यतः फ्रॉम हुम। न नॉट। तयो टू देम। याति वन अचीव्स। निर्वेशम रीपेमेंट ऑफ द डेथ ऑफ द डेट। पित्रोहो टू द पेरेंट्स। मर्त्यः अमॉर्टल। शत ऑफ 100 इयर्स। आयुषा विथ अ लाइफ स्पैन। ट्रांसलेशन विथ वन्स बॉडी वन कैन एक्वायर ऑल गोल्स ऑफ लाइफ एंड इट इज वन्स पेरेंट्स हु गिव द बॉडी बर्थ एंड सस्टेनेंस। देयरफॉर नो मॉर्टल कैन ever repay his debt to his parents, even if he serves them for a full time, for a full lifetime of 100 years. Purport. Having stated, both you, our parents, and we have suffered because of our separation. Krishna now states that his and Balram's religious principles have been spoiled by their failure to satisfy their parents. Hare Krishna.
Om Akyanati Mirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sapitam Yena Bhutale स्वयं रूपक कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदांतिकं श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे।
So the background of the scene is Krishna killed Kamsa, then released Ugrasena, released his father and mother, and now he is meeting his mother and father. This is a very important event, which is a big turning point in Krishna's life on earth. So he is, as we killed Kuvalayapid and then Chanura, and then Kamsa, in a very heroic way, very great opulence of strength he displayed. So naturally, mother and father, Vasudeva and Devaki, they were quite impressed with the Aishwarya part of the Lord and started understanding his supreme personality of Godhead. And now Lord is starting a new chapter in his avatar leela in this. So he wanted to have the rasa between him and his parents as father, mother and child. So that's why he immediately started talking like a child. And he spoke so beautifully that at the end of this talk, they lifted both of them and embraced them and bathed them with their tears of love. So Lord basically comes down to relish the rasa of love and devotion with his friends, with his devotees. And he will do whatever is necessary to derive or to extract that essence of the heart of his devotees. And in Braj Leela he will always try to maintain the innocence or the mellow, the rasa of the part of the devotees. Although when he leaves Vrindavan, Aishwarya begins there to expand from there to Hastinapur, Dwarka. But still the mellow remains wherever Krishna is in Krishna Leela. Although it is concentrated in Braj, but still he will like to maintain that essence of love between he and his devotees in a very individualistic, in a very particular way. So here he is in the guise of casting a spell of Maya on them and to invoke Vatsalya in them. Still he is telling something very, very important, most important for all of us to really ponder upon. Since this verse is given to me, I have been meditating on this. Lord Sri Krishna from his own mouth is explaining us certain very bare facts of life, which should really wake us up and think about this particular duty that we are supposed to perform in this life. He is saying here that even if one full lifetime of 100 years, if one serves one's parent with full dedication, still you cannot imagine that you will repay what they have done for you. This is what Sri Krishna is saying. In the next verses he is saying that if one doesn't serve, then he will eat his own flesh after his death. If he does not take care of his parents. And many more duties also along with that he mentions, and he says, a man is considered to be dead if he is unable to serve his parents. So very thought-provoking teachings of Sri Krishna. We see in today's age, you know, when there are children, if there are 2-3 children, they always want to possess mother. If one goes in the lap, second one also go in the lap. And third one also fighting, I want to also go in the lap. So when there are children, they are constantly trying to take mother and father on their side. But when they grow up, they are only competing that how they will not take share of the mother and father's care. Now they will say, you care, you take, my turn is over now, I am exhausted, I am tired, I have just paid my loans, I have just got my sister, daughter married, and I have just got house loan paid, I don't have capacity, now you take over. So childhood, for me, and in the young and middle age, for you, and for you. This is how it is today. But less that we understand that when parents are giving us their care, they never think of their own self. They never consider their own comfort, their own stresses or diseases or the challenges or the difficulties or the diseases that they have. They just serve their children unconditionally, without any expectation that, oh, he will do something for me. Maybe there is a inert inside some desire that after I grow old, he will look after me. But it's a far-fetched desire. Nobody has seen the future. Currently, they are supposed to serve 24 hours. When we are small babies, infant babies, what is coming out of which pores of the body, nobody knows. The child doesn't know what's happening. Vomiting, urine, stool, fever, and so many diseases are coming. And 24 hours, the mother is on call without any pay, tirelessly, at the cost of falling sick. And they will do all the necessary things, however poor the mother and father are, or well-to-do they are. They will do all their, because even though you have a lot of money and a lot of resources, that doesn't mean you become relieved of the stress that the child gives you. The mother and father have to share their good share of their sufferings or stresses to raise a child. And then they grow up, and then they are supposed to be educated, and then they are supposed to go to some colleges, and then loans, and the fees, and the other clothes, and the nowadays so many modern gadgets and so many facilities the children need. They become rebellious, and then they have to go to psychiatrists and psychologists to handle the child, to make him happy, because only one or two children are there. So much stress is there to make the child stand on her own feet. But as soon as the child stands on her own feet, he starts neglecting his parents. First and foremost they do is they just neglect their emotions. Emotionally they neglect them. Physical dependence comes later on when the parents fall sick. But first they start ignoring them, living independent life, not even calling them. I remember one Brajbhushan Baba from Nandagaon had come to our hospital for operation. He was 70 years old that time. Very, very, very close friend of Radhanath Swami. Very pakka Brajvasi. I remember his words. He had told me that when your parents get old, please do not fail to give them respect. But he was old. He must be suffering from his heart, whatever he was undergoing. So sometimes you may not require to give money or some physical sustenance to them, but just caring, concern, calling up sometimes, inquiring about their well-being, how do you do, meeting them regularly, all that meeting may not yield great things in their life, but the emotional warmth that they feel is something which is very precious for them at that old age. And most of you are brahmacharis here. Even we as grihasthas, when we become devotees, we had to leave home and do things on our own because we were not supported. So they have also undergone that pain in one sense. Oh my child, I don't know where is he going, what is he doing. Now we look back and we understand, although we were very firmly into Krishna consciousness movement, but their worry was genuine because they were not having full knowledge what are we doing actually. They were thinking we are following foreigners, drug addicted people and drug addict movement and everything. They had all their concept, and with that conceptualization, they were really worried about us. That's why they were not supporting. But when they were convinced, they were supporting. Now also they are supporting. They are full-fledged supporting. So their opposition or their love, their opposition or support is actually based on love only, of which there is no doubt. At least at this age now we are convinced. So each and every devotee, even Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also, what to speak of us, he took care of his mother so nicely. Mostly of her emotions he took care. He may not have given her sustenance for money, for maintaining her body or diseases. He was constantly in touch with her and giving his love and attention to her. And Sri Krishna also exemplified the same thing. Although he couldn't do from the Leela point of view, from the situation point of view, couldn't attend to his parents, actually Vasudeva and Devaki. First of all, he is apologizing. He is recognizing and identifying that he couldn't do something. And now he is offering himself that this is what I want to do. Please tell me what I can do for you. I will not be able to repay you even if I serve you hundreds of years of lifetimes. Because Devaki and Vasudeva, to beget Krishna as child, they underwent so much of pains. to just mitigate the place, they could have stopped creating children only. They should have stopped Prajotpadan. There would have no question of suffering. But to just serve the desire of Supreme Personality of Godhead, that he wanted to come as their eighth child, they had to keep on giving birth to children and had to bear the suffering of seeing their own children being smashed on the stone to death mercilessly and brutally. And then after they gave birth to Krishna, there was so much of anxiety Mother Yashoda, Mother Devaki and Vasudeva went through. She had to part with her baby immediately after birth. After so much of trouble, you get a precious baby that is Supreme Personality of Godhead and you have to part with him immediately. And then keep on remembering and worrying and having stress about what's happening to him, because news were already coming. He came and she came and Putanavarta came and Shakatasur came. So much of danger, Vasudeva and Devaki constantly meditating what is happening to our child. At the same time, you have to keep it confidential. At the same time, you have to do something what is needful, because the heart is not going to stop beating with love. So much Vasudeva and Devaki went through. Even for Supreme Personality of Godhead, for the Leela's sake, still, the devotee has to go through all those things, although it is transcendental and everything. So, it is very important to recognize the role of our parents in our life. With this very body they have given. We may say that, oh, out of lust, when they come together, they become pregnant and they have given birth to us. Even animals do that. But that is not so in human beings' case. In human beings' case, when the human body is awarded, even out of whatever relationship, that body is giving a facility to all of us to realize the Lord. Krishna says here, when one's body, human body, one can acquire all goals of life. All purusharthas, dharma, artha, kama, moksha, and prema, pancham purushartha, everything can be achieved by this very body. And this very body is the donation of our parents to us. Not only the body they have given, they have nourished that body, they have given strength. I remember my father was a very poor person actually. But he has given very good health and very good education. And very nice food when he was working very hard. We are eight children in the house. It's not easy to run a house of eight children plus my aunties, four children and my grandmother. There were 14 people and one small shop. And from 4:35 a.m. till 1 a.m. he would work in the shop, day and night. And he never gave us anything less than quality thing in our life. All the things what we ate was less in quantity, but of good quality. And he put us all in gymnasium, and good training and culture he gave. All the Vaishnava etiquettes that we study and we teach in counseling meetings, we all learnt it in the house only. Everything. 99.99% of the Vaishnava etiquette book is taught at home only. Sitting in the shop, and remote control trained us, you know. And then he said, now I'm old, now you're educated, now you, with this springboard, you jump. That's such a good platform. And I remember when he became old, sorry to say, so many brothers, but nobody wanted to take care of him, both of them. Now he has gone, mother is there, still same struggle is there. Who will take care, who will take care, who will take care? Always giving reasons. And then when the daughter-in-laws come, they behave in such a way that the mother-in-law doesn't get along with them. The mother-in-law will only say, I don't want to go to her house. It's also a strategy. Somehow to keep them away and not to interfere, not to disturb our own selfish family life. This is today's world, by the way. Everybody is simply trying to shun over the responsibility of their parents. And it's so discouraging actually to see. You can imagine that if we give such kind of pain to our parents, then that pain is going to come back to us without fail, because we are also going to get old. We are also going to get useless or diseased and dependent and helpless in old age. It's all going to boomerang on us. So before that happens, we should start showing care and concern. At least we may not be able to physically give good care, at least give some emotional support and show that we are there for you. Right? I must tell today about our dear godbrother Giriraj Prabhu. Giriraj Prabhu's, all of you may not be knowing, his father is at the moment of time unconscious for last 2 months. He was in the hospital for 1 month, and then everything was stable hemodynamically, and But still he was unconscious because he had brain injury and has to take his own time. So he got his father discharged at home, and today also at home the father is unconscious for last 1 month. And 24/7, everybody of the family is busy in serving the unconscious father with mother. Mother is also there. And so blissfully and so gratefully, blissful in the sense there is a pain in the heart, but so gratefully he is serving along with his service to WADA as a counselor, and Nigdi as a counselor, and Belgaum as also a counselor, and hospital demanding services, and so many thousands and lakhs of rupees of expenses, and the management at home, and the servants, and the ward boys, and the Aya boys on call at home. There are so many people at home all the time, 24/7, cleaning the house, making the diet through given to nasal tube. It's a big job. But out of such gratitude in the heart, he's not like complaining, you know, distressing everybody else at how much he's suffering. So gratefully he's doing. Such an example. His good wife Shamarani Mataji also, day and night working hard to create every 2 hours some feed as per the diet to maintain the life of her father-in-law. Then dressing up, the servants are washing clothes, and so many things are to be there. It's a very inspiring example. If such service one renders, and along with that, making sure that active, vibrant, Krishna conscious atmosphere is maintained at home. Devotees are coming, the children turn by turn are reading Bhagavatam and singing songs, everyday kirtan they are doing. So along with the physical and emotional management, physical management of father, emotional management of mother, and giving support to her, taking care of so many other elements, he is also not so keeping good health, there are so many other problems in the family. But such an example for all of us too, that this is how we should take care of our parents. Because sure enough, whatever happens to his father in the near future, sure enough he'll be on the way back to Godhead. But the way vibrant Krishna conscious atmosphere with good physical care and emotional care is maintained, nobody has to read scriptures for that, what will happen to his father. So that is called as Pitru Runa, completely is repaid. Although Krishna says you cannot repay, but if you give such kind of care, because they have given body and they have given opportunity for you to become Krishna conscious, and education, and self-sustenance. In return, when they become old and they become helpless, we give them physical, spiritual, and emotional support. Body, mind, and soul. So, I am very grateful to His Grace Giriraj Prabhu for creating such a wonderful example. And He is simply begging devotees to pray for His father. But all the physical burden and physical stress that is there in the life of a busy orthopedic surgeon, still he is bearing on his own. So Sri Krishna must be glancing very mercifully at this wonderful service that is being done. And looking at his example, so many devotees will do the same thing to their parents. And we have to all take up that consciousness that here we are to develop a culture in Krishna consciousness. Philosophy is there. Books are there. We are hearing lectures, thousands and millions of lectures we are hearing from our birth in Krishna consciousness. But the life culture that we have to follow in our life is what is the basis of this Krishna consciousness. If we do not have devotional behavioral culture in our life, then Krishna consciousness cannot flourish very beautifully. You may have a very strong seed given by Srila Prabhupada to all of us. But if you don't have that behavioral culture, devotional culture, for example, truthfulness, honesty, compassion, kindness, service attitude, tolerance, patience, desire to help others, if that is not there, then the Krishna consciousness seed may not grow as it's supposed to be grown, potentially the way it should be growing. But the moment we have this wonderful culture that we learn in our devotional congregation, then immediately Krishna consciousness will flourish. All the kalmashas will be washed off, and Krishna will give us the best of His life, of His mercy in our lives. So let's all take up this message. Further 2-3 verses are very, very powerful. How to take care of all the dependents and save ourselves from hellish life and sufferings and reaction. And they may not be every time the best that you can do. should be the ideal in the world. But one should at least be honest enough to give ourselves 100% in our possibility. At least Krishna should see that we are trying our best, do our best. Every time it may not be the best as per the world standard. When Lord Ramchandra went to the forest, and when he came to know Dasharath Maharaj had left, already one Shraddha was performed by them. But still he performed another Shraddha as Ramkunda. Whatever he could do, emotionally, spiritually, he was offering. So, with this, today is also a very auspicious day of disappearance of Madhu Pandit Mahashoy. Also the very great auspicious appearance day of Sita Devi. And also the appearance day of Sri Ma Jannaba Devi. So first we will speak about Mother Sita. Our Lord Gopalji today has dressed himself as Prabhu Sri Ram in the honor of birthday of Sita Devi, holding arrow in hand. So inspiring. So Sita Devi, Maharshi Valmiki actually described Ramayana one place, that Ramayana is Sitayanam, Sitayanam Charitam Mahat. Actually it is a glory and description of the character of Sita Devi, for whom so many things were performed ultimately, keeping her distress or whatever personality in center. She was Vedavati in the past life. All of you know she was performing tapasya to have Vishnu as her husband, and Ravan came and disturbed her actually. So she chanted a mantra and burnt herself. And before that she cursed Ravan that I will come back again to become cause of your death. And she came back, and she was born in Sitamadhi, which is in Bihar today. When Janak Maharaj, his another name is Videha. Videha is the name of that person who has power to transcend his bodily consciousness. Videha. So her name was Vaidehi. So he was performing yajna, and for which he was ploughing his field, and in the casket, it is called golden casket, he found in the furrow of the ground, where he found his beautiful effulgent daughter. And that furrow is called Sita, the furrow, the gap in the ground. And she was found from that Sita, that's why she was called Sita, Sita Devi. Other names are Janaki, because she was daughter of Janak. Maithili, because she was also the princess of Mithila, the place where Janak Maharaj ruled. Another name is Vaidehi. Sita was epitome of feminine chastity, purity and virtue. The whole personality of Sita is overwhelmingly telling us about chastity and purity. As she was a daughter of earth, she was also a personification of fertility, samruddhi, abundance and well-being, which came from Mother Earth to her. So wherever she was the cause of samruddhi for her parents and her kinsmen. When she was found and she was taken home as daughter, even that same time, little later, Janak Maharaj's wife gave birth to Urmila, the second daughter of Janak Maharaj. And in childhood, very unique thing Sita would do, even Lord Nityananda also, and many other incarnations of the Lord. She would enact and perform many pastimes of Lord's previous incarnations, as a daughter also. She was absorbed, it is explained that she was absorbed in remembering and performing various pastimes of the Lord. At one time, Parashuramji, who had the Shiva Dhanushya, he came to visit Janak Maharaj. And that Dhanushya was, it is said that it was 60 tal trees long. How long one tal tree is? So long, so big, bedecked with jewels, and was so heavy. Later on it was found that 300 men also would not be able to lift that. It was so heavy. It had to be kept in a museum, very big museum, only built for it. So that he kept outside the house, and he went inside, received all hospitality of Janak Maharaj, and everything was done. He wanted to go back. He came back and he saw the Dhanushya was missing. They were searching everywhere. And later on, when they were searching, they found that on the terrace of the palace of Janak Maharaj, Sita was playing with that Dhanushya like a toy. So that time Parshuram told Janak Maharaj, this girl is an ordinary girl. Such power she has to lift this Dhanushya as a toy and to play with it as a child. You'll have to find a very strong husband for her. So that time only Janak Maharaj fixed in their mind that I will give this daughter in Swayamvara to that personality who will be able to lift this bow and tie rope, pratyancha, to that. That's how the origin of that Swayamvara came up, because of Parshuram's advice. So that was a small glimpse of Sita Devi's, one is chastity, but the second time is the strength that she had, because she was Satrani, she was born as Satrani. Then she got married with Lord Ram. Everybody knows that Vishwamitra Muni took Lord Ram after killing Tadaka and Subahu. He took them to Janakpuri and he requested, please lift. So he lifted the bow and broke it into pieces, and then Sita Devi married. There she took a vow. Many vows that we take today also is a marriage in temple. The wife takes a vow that in happiness and sorrow I will support you. I will assist you in your mission of serving the Lord. Husband says, I will protect you with food and shelter, and I will give emotional and spiritual support and help you back going back home, back to Godhead. So she vowed like that during the marriage. When the time came to go to forest because of Kaikeyi's plan, Lord Ram said, don't go, because your lotus feet never touch the ground. You were so opulently and so lovingly taken care by your father and mother. How can you take the pains of forest? There are wild animals, there is unpredictable weather, and there are so many unforeseen dangers. You will not be able to take those troubles. So she said very important line. She said, I took vow in my father's house while getting married with you that I will be with you by the side of you when there is happiness and there is sorrow also. Does that mean that I have to only say it for sake of saying only in front of all the sages and the fire and the elders, and only share with you happiness and not go with you when you are in pain? To keep my father's dignity and to keep the dignity of my word, I must accompany you. Whatever you go through, I will be happily participating in that. So Lord Ram had to accept. He was trying to convince her not to come with so many reasons. But with this word, Lord Ram was defeated. And she also accepted tree bark immediately. And she went with him. So chastity is the strength of ladies. If a girl, if a married woman is simply purely chaste to her husband, it is explained that itself will take her to Brahmaloka. Like a man, if he is purely a brahmachari, without being a devotee, simply a pure brahmachari, that will take him to Brahmaloka. What to speak of coupling the brahmacharya and the chastity with devotion to God, that will take us back to Godhead. There are so many examples. Even Ravan Mandodari example is given. When we are doing Sindurdan ceremony, Granthi Bandhan in our marriages, we are taking Ravan Mandodari's name also. Because Mandodari was so chaste. Ravan was whatever he was, but her chastity was also part of his strength. Just being like that, she had tremendous power. Gandhari also, when she was chaste, although Dhritarashtra was so crooked and he had so many faults, and that created the whole Mahabharata war, that is a different story. But because of her chastity, when she opened her eyes, the glance made Duryodhana's body was vajra. And she cursed Krishna, same power, that your dynasty also will be destroyed, like you destroyed my dynasty, my children. And that came true. Of course, it's part of Leela. But the Lord is still trying to teach us something which is very important. So this is the power of chastity, and Sita is the emblem of that chastity. She suffered so much for the sake of Lord Ram. Due to her chastity, Ravan couldn't dare to touch her. He was alluring her, tempting her, threatening her with so many ways, but he couldn't do anything to her. And she also sustained her life with faith that my husband will come. And Hanuman told her that I will take you. Why to worry? Why to finish all this business of here only? I have come all the way here. I have found you. I can take you immediately by the way of air. But she said, Ravan, when he brought me over here, he touched me by force. I didn't wish that he should touch me. I was being brought here by force, by his touch. But here I am going to willingly accept it, if at all I accept. So I cannot do that. Although you are like my son, but I will not do that. Let my Lord Ram come here and rescue me by whichever means, after killing Ravana or whatever way. And she was ready to continue to be in that situation of suffering for another long unknown period of time. It was not decided that after 13 months or 13 days he was going to come and Everything was told to her, all the schedule. Nothing was told, so all uncertain. But principle is principle. When we live our life firmly based on spiritual principles, rest Lord will take care. How to uplift His devotee? Lord is Lord's business, it becomes His responsibility. Our responsibility is to stick on to the principles that are given to us by our spiritual master. And we stick on to that, our life becomes very glorious and spiritually empowered. And looking at their example, so many other people get inspired to become devotee of the Lord. So we should not succumb to the situations. We should see that in all the conditions of life, our principles are intact. Mentally, physically, emotionally, we remain loyal to the spiritual principles that are awarded to us by the mercy of the Lord. And Sita Devi is emblem of that. So purity, chastity, mercifulness, tolerance, detachment was the character of Sita Devi. Of course, we can speak, so many things are already mentioned here, but time is less. I must tell what Srila Prabhupada told about Sita Devi. Srila Prabhupada said, she is Srimati Radharani in Ramlila. In fact, when you talk to Brajvasis, they will address Sita Devi always as Sriji. Sometimes you get confused what you are talking about. Sometimes when they are talking about how Sita Devi met Lord Ramchandra in the bagicha, in the garden, before they met in Swayamvara, and what happened to them, they will address Sriji only. Sriji kaise mili Thakur ji se? It's like we are thinking about Radharani meeting Krishna in the forest of Prem Sarovar. So Prabhupada says she is Radharani in Ramlila. In Kurma Puran, it is explained about Sita being exchanged with Chaya Sita. Because originally Sita Devi is so pure a character that even by force Ravan is not supposed to touch her. So when Lord Ramchandra came to know that now I have punished Shurpanakha and she has gone insulted back, she will do some havoc. She will not keep quiet. A woman insulted when she is fully engrossed in lust, she is not going to keep quiet. So at that time, Lord Ramchandra, even not informing Lakshman, took her to Agni Tirtha. That is the Sangam of Kapila Devar and Godavari River. It is in Tapovan, in Nasik. And there, Tridev Darshan also is there. Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh also appeared there. Agnidev appeared there at the meeting of Kapila and Godavari River. And there, Agnidev was offered the Sita. And Agnidev gave Chaya Sita back in return to Lord Ram. And that Sita was brought back to the Kutir. And that Sita was stolen by Ravan. And original Sita always remained with Agnidev in custody of his. And whatever protection Lakshman was giving and Jatayu was giving and Sita Gufa, all that was Chaya Sita. So this Chaya Sita's, one Sita was stolen, and then after that when Lord Ram got Sita, went back and he was performing yagyas, when she was in Valmiki's ashram, every time for one yagya he would create a deity of Sita and sit down with her and perform yagya. So many yagyas he did and so many Sitas were created. So when actually Sita Devi came back, she requested Lord Ram, all these ladies, because they were done Pran Pratishtha also, they also became personalities, it's not that they were murtis only. The murtis were given Pran Pratishtha and life was invigorated in that. So how many ladies were there, including that Chaya Sita who suffered in Ashok Van for 1 month, 1 year. So on request of Sita Devi, all those Chaya Sitas, they got entrance in Ras Leela of Sri Krishna. They all appeared in Krishna Leela in various ways and they danced with Krishna as if they were his wives. There is a reward that they got because of the mercy of Sita Devi. Prabhupada says also that Parasya Shaktir Vividhaiva Sriyate, she is the origin of all the potencies of Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sita Devi. Then he says, Pathe Nari Vivar Yeha, one should not take his wife outside without consideration of situations outside. Because Lord Ram took Sita with him, all the catastrophes happened in the dangerous place like forest of Dandakaranya. Then he says, if one is very attached to his wife, he has to face so many dangers. This is what Prabhupada says. Lord Ramchandra, although Supreme Personality of Godhead, but acting as a human being, acted as an ordinary human being. He was crying like a, so bitterly, asking the trees and creepers also, where is my Sita, where is my Sita? So Prabhupada says that one should not be overwhelmingly attached to one's wife in the material sense. One can be attached to one's wife in the spiritual sense, that she is a devotee, she is a Vaishnavi, she is under my care, but not materially attached, because once we become materially attached, then so many sufferings come because of that. Then Prabhupada said, the husband must protect his wife in all conditions. Sri Ram Chandra Bhagwan destroyed all the Rakshas Vamsa to protect one wife. So chastity of Sita Devi, today's world people may consider it is all slavery, you know. Becoming chaste to wife means, husband means becoming slave of the husband. But it is not so. It is the concept of protection. When one is chaste, she will be protected. It is said that man's heart is like the third class compartment of ladies' compartment in railway. So many ladies get in, so many ladies get out. But the lady's chastity, lady's heart, only one person. When she gives heart to one person, nobody else comes in the way, at least in Indian context, in Bharat Varsha Sanskruti. So, Sita Devi's chastity is teaching us that by the way of chastity, she won Lord Ramchandra's mercy, protection and heart. And full protection she gathered. Lord Ram also, for her namesake, didn't marry anybody else. So many ladies approached him. You know, all the Garga Sanhita, if you read, wherever Lord Ram went, right from his Kumar age to before marriage and just marriage and after come to Ayodhya and to the Vanvas and Dandakaranya, everywhere, wherever he went, all ladies and men who were in Shringar Rasa approached him to enjoy or to relish Madhuri Rasa. But to everybody he said only one thing: in this incarnation I cannot give you, fulfill your desires. Just because of the power of Sita Devi's chastity, he rejected everybody in one sense, at least temporarily, and fulfilled their desires in the next incarnation. That is because of Sita Devi's chastity. So on this day we offer our most humble, respectful obeisances to Lord Mother Sita, who can bestow us the chastity, because we also as disciples of Gurudev need our chastity to our spiritual master. Our mind, like the wife's mind is fixed on husband in chastity, our mind as a disciple should be fixed on our spiritual master as a chaste disciple. We should not keep shopping who is giving good instruction, who is giving good ambience and good reputation to us. Our chastity to our Guru Maharaj should be like Mother Sita's chastity to Lord Ramchandra. In all conditions of life, whether they are materially adverse or favorable, or very encouraging to us or not encouraging to us materially, still a disciple must remain constantly chaste to his spiritual master, lifetimes after lifetimes, eternally. Even in the spiritual world, our chastity to spiritual master doesn't disconnect, doesn't end. Even there, the spiritual master keeps guiding you to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead in whichever rasa we are and whichever different rasa he may be in. The relationship of chastity between disciple and guru is also eternal, even in the spiritual world. Today also is disappearance day of Madhu Pandit Mahashoy. Madhu Pandit was Mandali Gopi, Mandali Sakhi. There are 8 Sakhis of Krishna, and each Sakhi of Krishna has got 3 principal Sakhis. Like Rupa Goswami is the principal assistant Sakhi of Rupa Manjari of Lalita. Like that, each of them have 3, and then each 3 of them have 1 crore of assistants with them, and then these 1 crore have also few more assistants with them. So Mandali Sakhi happens to be in Champak Lata's group, who is also one of the Ashta Sakhis. As in the Leela of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Madhu Pandit was disciple of Gadadhar Pandit, who was Radharani himself, and he was a very dear associate of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There are many, many stories. Even Radhana Swami told 2 stories about appearance of Gopinath. Vajranav actually got many deities made from by Vishwakarma. And the 3rd deity that he made, it was told that the lotus face of this deity was exactly like Sri Krishna. And that deity was named as Gopinath. And the course of time, after establishment, by the will of the Lord, all the deities disappeared. And then it is explained that one story tells that Madhu Pandit came to Braj Bhumi in the course of his life, and he was so deeply absorbed in Krishna
that he would always cry tears and he was not in this world. He was simply calling Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. He will wander in the forest along the banks of Jamuna, everywhere in Braj, simply crying, calling the names of the Lord. Pukarate Hari Hari. He would not in the world in one sense. So one story tells that he found a flute at the area of Bansiwad one day. And he dug further and he found the deity of Gopinathji, which he later installed and built the temple for Gopinathji in Gopinath Bazar. Another story tells that Paramananda Bhattacharya, Paramananda Goswamiji, was a senior devotee. He found Gopinathji at the area of Bansiwad and he offered it to Madhu Pandit and then he worshipped it. And the third Brajvasi version is very, very interesting, that Madhu Pandit was in ecstasy of separation from Krishna, always shedding tears and crying and calling the names of Sri Krishna, was wandering in the forests of Vrindavan, once came to Bansiwad and in ecstasy he kept on walking inside. He walked inside the river of Jamuna and fell in the river Jamuna, unconscious. And under water of Jamuna, Gopinathji appeared and embraced him and took him out of water. And when he came out of consciousness, he found the deity of Gopinathji next to him, who had saved him under water. And then there is a song in Brajbhumi depicting this Leela. And then he installed Sri Gopinathji. So Madhu Panditji served Gopinathji also in the same mood of ecstasy that he was before in. One beautiful verse I would all like all of you to chant with me. A nice prayer to Madhu Pandit. Madhusneha samayuktam prema saktam mahashayam brindavane rasaratam vande shri Madhu Panditam. I offer my respectful obeisances to Madhu Pandit Mahashoy, the highly magnanimous soul who is bound by strong ties of attachment in love to the divine couple Radha and Krishna and Gopinath. And the affection that he feels is as sweet as honey. That is why one of his name is Madhu. That is why he is known as Madhu. He is always absorbed in the highest exchange of mellows of Raslila there in Vrindavan. One of the special things which are repeated again and again in our readings, we find that when Srinivas Acharya was carrying books, the famous book party which left Vrindavan with Narottam Das and Shyamanand Pandit, they all left together. At that time when they were leaving, Madhu Pandit brought Mahaprasad garland of Sri Gopinathji and gave it to Srinivas Acharya. He was blessed by the mercy of Gopinath. And this Madhu Pandit, it's a very beautiful story are there, Madhu Pandit, but one of the most important things is he had a coat which was made of tulsi beads. Full coat, overcoat like up to the knees. And which he used to wear. And which was there in Vrindavan. But when the deity of Gopinathji was shifted to Jaipur by the arrangement of Rajputs to save from the Aurangzeb, this coat also was shifted to Jaipur. And in the year 1739, when Gopinathji reached Jaipur, the coat also was taken to Jaipur. And in 1902, after 160 almost 63 years, the coat was open for display. And now it is there in the closet of glass closet in that temple. And when Indradhunu Swami went to visit that temple, the pujaris were so overwhelmed seeing his devotion that they said, "You take this coat away. This is a gift for you." But he said that the coat has most value and its significance if it is remaining in this temple where Gopinathji is residing, because he is a very dear devotee of Gopinathji. If I take it away somewhere, people will not come to see that coat wherever I go, because I am travelling mendicant, travelling preacher. So he said, "I accept it as your loving gift, but I will like to keep it over here only. I will like to make a nice closet so that people will come and take darshan of this." So today also that coat is there in Jaipur. It's a very picturesque sight. When you go to Jaipur Yatra, do not miss to see that beautiful coat of Madhu Pandit. It's as if Madhu Pandit is offering that coat to Indradhunu Swami Maharaj. Because all these things are not material, they are transcendental. How the acharyas and the Lord reciprocate with his devotees, no one knows. This is only heart to heart. Unless we are on that level of that heart, how can we understand? So this is Madhu Pandit. And what strikes me whenever I think of Madhu Pandit is his absorption and his mellow of his devotion that he had. Then last but not the least, today's personality, which we must meditate and spend few minutes of justification, Ma Jahnava Devi. Ma Jahnava Devi is one mantra we must all chant. Very beautiful mantra. Nityananda Priyam Prema. Nityananda Priyam Prema. Bhakti Ratna Pradayinim. Sri Janavi Ishwarim Vande. Sri Janavim Ishwarim Vande. Tapatraya Nivarinim. I offer my obeisances to Sri Jahnava Devi, Lord Nityananda's dear wife. She gives the precious jewel of devotional service to everyone. In this way, she vanquishes the threefold miseries of material existence. Another verse which is there, which means, whenever her name is chanted, the fear and troubles of this world of repeated birth and death flee away. Ma Jahnava Devi ki. She is supposed to be the very mercy of the Lord personified. Now, in Kalyan Kalpataru, Thakur Bhakti Vinod offers a very beautiful prayer, which I will chant in the end so that we can take away that meditation with us the whole day. Ma Jahnava Devi was actually Ananga Manjari. Ananga Manjari is Sri Balaramji himself, who expanded as Gopi to become Radharani's younger sister and to relish and serve Sri Krishna into Madhurya Ras. In Chaitanya Leela, she came as daughter of Suryadas and Bhadravati Sarakela. Her mother's name was Bhadravati, father's name was Suryadas, and surname was Sarakela. Very famous family in Ambika Kalna, where Gaurudas Pandit lived. Her younger sister was Vasudha, and as Anang Manjari she was, but she was also the incarnation of Revati Devi, who is the wife of Balaramji. So it's a very mysterious thing. We can't understand how this is possible, but spiritually everything is possible. And Vasudha Devi was a younger sister, and she was Varuni Devi, the daughter of Varuni, who actually came to assist Lord Balaram in his wonderful pastimes of mysterious intoxication. She came as a beverage which would ooze out of the leaves of trees whenever Balaramji would be around. And that is daughter of Varun Dev. And if you need Nityananda Charitamrita, there is a very beautiful description of the marriage of Nityananda and Jahnava Devi, also Vasudha Devi. Of course, it's a long description, but very mysteriously, when Jahnava Devi's marriage was engaged with Lord Nityananda, Vasudha also was serving prasad. And when she had to serve 2-3 items, she manifested 2 more arms from her back and held many pots together and served. So it said Nityananda Prabhu, while eating prasadam, only held her hand and accepted her as wife. And Jahnava Devi got ceremoniously married. Along with that, even Vasudha Devi got married with Nityananda Prabhu. Then Vasudha gave birth to 2 children, not Jahnava Devi, Vasudha Devi, Virbhadra and Ganga Devi, one daughter and one son. And Vasudha died at a young age. So like Madhuri and Kunti, you know, the children came under the responsibility of Jahnava Devi. At the same time, Jahnava Devi adopted one boy called Ramchandra. So 3 of them were raised as Vaishnavas by Jahnava Devi. So most of her early life went in raising these 3 children as Vaishnavas. And in the early days, she was only known and famous as Lord Nityananda's wife. But later on, as she finished her duties and started preaching, she became the world Acharya after Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda left this world. And she became famous of her own quality of devotion. Now, Virbhadra emerged as a leader of Vaishnavas, and he, as a son of Vasudha, still took Diksha from Jahnava Devi. And she later, when she came to Vrindavan, her intense devotion for Gopinath duty was very famous. The way in today's appearance and disappearance leelas, Madhu Pandit and Jahnava Devi both are connected to our Gopinath. Their devotion to Gopinath, because Madhu Pandit established standards of Gopinath worship himself, and Jahnava Devi also herself established the standard of worship of Gopinath. And in her life itself, there is no personality in the history of any sampradaya, where in somebody's life, her or his deity was put on the altar and worshipped, in her life only. With the permission and consent of the Jaipur kings, her deity was put on the altar. Nobody has got this honor up till now. Her main contribution is that today we don't feel much because we are after many hundreds of years after that. But in those days, there was not much union about various other sampradayas which are existing together. So she created solidarity and unification between Vrindavan Vaishnavas and the Bengali Vaishnavas. Because the culture is different, the lifestyle is different, the way things are different. But she created unification of Bengali Vaishnavas and Vrindavan Vaishnavas. And today what we see in Vrindavan is much credit to her, whatever relationship they relish and enjoy. She initiated men and women alike and attracted even atheistic people in the world. One of the most striking features that you come to know about Jahnava, which is described in detail in Bhakti Ratnakar, pages after pages after pages about Jahnava Mataji's glories and what she did. One of the striking features is that she was so powerful spiritually that one time she glanced at Narottam and invested tremendous spiritual power in Narottam Das Thakur. And you may say, is Narottam Das Thakur, so she must have done that. He was one of the manjiris. But when she was walking on the roads on her preaching tours, wherever she went and whichever people saw her, all of them fell down unconscious in ecstasy, as they would fall down when they would see Nityananda Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu. Common men, even atheistic people, when they would see her, they would get overwhelmed with love and tears would flow down from their eyes and they would fall unconscious. And there onwards they will continue as pure devotees of the Lord. That was her power, just by glance, just by taking her darshan, just by she glancing upon them. There are striking evidences, again and again you will come across when you read her stories in Bhakti Ratnakar. Then, one fine day she got a very strong instruction in the dreams from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to go to Khetudigram. That is why Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when she instructed her to that go to Kheturi, he also told her that in Khetudigram, Narottam Das Thakur is organizing our first celebration of birthday, appearance day, Gaurav Gaur Purnima. And me and Nityanand Prabhu, with all Panchatattva, are going to appear there in celebration of Narottam Das Thakur. So she was very eager, so she went all the way. And when the journey, long journey is there, of course, I will briefly mention to you few things. When she came to Mathura and then came to Vrindavan, the whole stir of love and devotion spread in Vrindavan that she is coming. All the six Goswamis, including the two other Goswamis, Loknath Goswami and Bhogarbha Goswami, were so inspired. Although they were in separation from the Lord, crying tears, but when Ma Jahnava came, she brought a way of life, you know, like physical in one sense, because they all were alive spiritually, but they were all so morose and crying tears. But when she came, she enlivened everybody. Jiva Goswami, who was supposed to be such a big philosopher, when she came, he cried tears and fell unconscious. Then they all gathered together in Akrur Ghata. The very famous long gathering of many devotees. I will just read their names. Even reading their names will purify our heart. They were Madhu Pandit, Jiva Goswami, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Lokanatha Goswami, Bhugarbha Goswami, Krishnadas Pandit. Krishnadas Brahmachari is that person who Sanatan Goswami entrusted the worship of Madan Mohanji. That personality. All of them gathered, and Jahnava Devi was told that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed here in this Ekanta place because Vrindavan was too crowded, so he chose to stay over here overnight. He would go to chant at Imlitala. And hearing about Gauranga Mahaprabhu's pastimes in Braj Bhumi, she fell unconscious. And there at Akrur Ghat, she got darshan of Gopinath. Sri Gopinathji, deity also is there. And she got darshan and she fell unconscious, but she didn't reveal anybody what she saw. Then later on, when she went to spend some time in Vrindavan, and she visited Gopinath first, then Madan Mohan, then Govindji, then Radha Ramanji, then Radha Vinodji, Kokulananji, and as a lady, for natural for her to cook, she cooked for each and every deity different days, a big feast. And it was a very picturesque sight to see her cooking for the deities with great love and devotion. And also, after offering the food to the deity, she would feed the brahmacharis and the goswamis and the Brajvasi devotees with her own hands the mahaprasad of each and every deity. And it said that she got darshan of each deity whenever she went to serve them. Madan Mohan ji gave darshan to her, Govindji gave darshan to her, Radha Vinod gave darshan to her, Gokulananda gave darshan to her, Radha Raman gave darshan to her. And every time she went in ecstasy, but she never revealed what is happening with her. Then she told Jiva Goswami that she wants to visit Raghunath Das Goswami, who was so emaciated and weak, he couldn't move because he hardly ate anything. He was the renunciation personified. His tapasya, nobody can even imagine, one can follow. So he was so weak, he could not even move out of his kutir. So Ma Janava Devi walked all the way from Vrindavan to Radhakund, and some devotees went to tell Raghunath Das Goswami that Ma Janava Devi has come. He leaped from his place, although he was so weak, and managed to come out of the kutir and offered Dandavat Pranam to Ma Janava Devi. Ma Janava Devi trembled with ecstasy seeing Raghunath Das Goswami, who all the time was absorbed in chanting the name of the Lord, a big number of names of the Lord every day with a strict regulation. She was thrilled with ecstasy by looking at darshan of Raghunath Das Goswami. And they exchanged beautiful spiritual realizations, and she stayed there for a few days. That's a place called Janava Baitak at the bank of Radhakund. Very beautiful place, a tree of tamal is there, where she sat and did her bhajan, remembering Radha and Krishna at the banks of Radhakund. And she had a private ghat, you know, getting down straight into Radhakund, where she took bath. From there she desired to Das Goswami, she wants to go to see Govardhan. Then she went for Govardhan, took darshan, had ecstatic experiences. And when she was leaving from Govardhan back to Mathura and to her own way, because she had to go to Keturi. At that time, you can see, we say that these Goswamis were so renounced, they gave up wealth like a blade of grass. They are supposed to be very renounced on staying under a tree. But person like Jeev Goswami, person like Rupa Goswami, person like Bhugarbha Goswami, Loknath Goswami, who are in tears falling at her feet, unable to give up her company. And then she said, please don't, let me go. Still Jeev Goswami, a great philosopher and great pandit and great devotee of the Lord, accompanied her physically till Mathura. And there she requested, please leave, let me go on my own. But she had her own entourage, was travelling with her. One thing I forgot to mention to you, when she went to Govardhan, she had two darshans. When she went to Govardhan, she had Vasanti Rasalila darshan of Sri Krishna, by which the Chandra Sarovar is formed. That Lila, she had a divine darshan of that. And then later on, she further went to Govardhan darshan. She got Lila darshan of Fagu Keli. Fagu Keli means the Fagun Lila of Ranga Panchami, the holy Lila, she witnessed with her own eyes. And every time she felt unconscious, but she never revealed to anybody. The writer of Bhakti Ratnakar repeatedly keeps on writing again and again, I cannot describe, I cannot describe, I cannot describe. The common statements keep coming again and again. That what she went through, I cannot describe. What devotees felt when they looked at her, I cannot describe. What interaction took place, how loving exchanges took place between them, I cannot describe. This is what he keeps writing. And he says, I cannot describe everything because the length of the book will become too long. So I was saying, so what if the book would have been long? We could have still released the fast times. We would have found time to read those fast times. But anyways, this is all divine arrangements. So before we end our today's discussion, we would like to deeply meditate on the prayer that Thakur Bhakti Vinod had offered in Kalyana Kalpataru for Janava Devi. Please listen carefully. O Janava Devi, by the power of your divine qualities, please be merciful to this servant of yours. Dispel the illusion which torments me, and please relieve me of the material existence. Let me take shelter of yours, lotus feet. You are Nityananda Shakti, your guru of Krishna Bhakti. Be merciful to me, grant me the shade of your lotus feet, which are like desire trees. You have delivered countless abominable sinners. Please deliver me in the same way. Today, praying for your mercy, this lowly Bhakti Vinod, this sinner, falls at your lotus feet. So Jahnava Devi is one of the most prominent personalities in the Leela of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu. And her mercy is very much essential for us to make progress in Krishna consciousness. And the beauty of her mercy is like Lord Nityananda's mercy only. And then Lord Nityananda also, when he was sitting on the tree one day in Ekachakra, you know, some bunch of children fell down like cards, like leaves they fell down unconscious, just by a glance of Nityananda Prabhu. Similarly, this kind of mercy is available. Instant transformations. Unbelievable, unfathomable, unpredictable mercy is available by just remembering Ma Jahnava Devi. So at least today, let us all meditate on Ma Jahnava Devi. Keep remembering her powerful leelas, unbelievable, inconceivable leelas, most transcendental, causing transformation in the heart of sinners and also as well devotees. So our life will be successful just by meditating on these personalities. Our heart will be purified and we can have some hope of getting delivered and being forgiven for the predicament that we are in. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Ma Jahnava Devi ki, Sita Devi ki, Madhu Pandit Mahashoy ki. Are there any comments or questions for anybody? Anybody has any questions? Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jayo. Thank you very much everybody for your patience.